Hello and welcome to the teaching podcast of Coastal Community Church, where our mission is to be love in Jesus Christ to the lost and found in our community. For more information about what Coastal is all about, visit sebastianchurch.com. Now please prepare your heart to receive whatever God may have for you in today's sermon.
Is it on now? Thank you for making room for more people. Thanks for, Dad, if you're gonna carry chairs, you have enough strength to paddle a kayak and go fishing with me, so just saying. But we praise God for what he's doing in our church, and this is evidence. We also have another service at 9 o'clock in case you wanna wake up earlier. There's a little more room there, but we love you. We love having it full like this. Isn't it exciting? And the sound of your singing. That's what I come for. I mean, of course, yeah, I'm employed here, but this is my church, and I'm excited to be here. I forgot to say I'm Seth. I'm one of the pastors here, and I'm happy to be worshiping with you this morning, along with you. We're going to be talking about faith. I'm going to introduce to you, by way of video, someone who's so important to me, Moses Semande Mbuga. We call him Kabona. Kabona means pastor of many churches, and Moses is president of Imani Malele Children, the organization that we partner with our mission ministry in Uganda, who we've been partnered with for over 10 years. And Moses, we call Kabona because he has pastored, he's planted over 350 churches all over Uganda, Tanzania, Republic of Congo, Sudan, as well as Kenya. And we're humbled that we got to have him in first service in person. And I call him my dad because he's a spiritual father to me. And I can't think of anyone other than my biological dad who exercised a life of faith, and my spiritual dad, Kabona Moses Semande Mbuga, for implanting in me evidence of faith. And over the years, Moses has a few sayings. You'll hear him say that God will make a way where there is no way. And he says the gospel of works must supersede the gospel of words. And these are the things that we learned from Kabona over the years, and getting to work closely with him over the last 10 years. I want you to know that like a seed started here about 10 years ago when Nurse Linda said, we were going to Uganda, Nurse Linda said, hey, I wonder if there's anything medically I can do. And I called Moses and I said, hey, there's a nurse here. She wants to know if she can serve. And he says, just raise $5,000 and we'll treat some people under a jackfruit tree. And so that's what we did. And I'm here to tell you, like, it's really humbling, but that little seed grew. And because of that faith, over 30,000 people have received medical care in the village of Chitongo and Rangidi since that 10 years ago. We need to praise God for that, okay? We didn't have a building. We didn't have a building, but we were building schools in Uganda. We were hosting medical clinics and kids resource programs, teaching them about hygiene, teaching them about Jesus, teaching them about sports. And the greatest victory in all of that is that during this time, we bring in local evangelists and sometimes this guy to speak the gospel of Jesus during this time of people being a captive audience at these medical clinics and kids resource programs. And over the years, over 3,000 people have decided to follow Jesus as a result of this mission. We're talking about faith today, and it's a doubter's guide. A doubter's guide to grow faith, because my wife will tell you, these awesome things that God's done through the little bit of faith that I have usually have some sleepless nights attached to them where I wonder if God is really gonna do what he says he's gonna do. When Moses says we're gonna treat 7,000 patients in 1 year, and we calculated 125 patients per hour going through the clinic, with a team of 162. When Moses says something like that, I hear God speaking to me and say, all right, I'll take care of it. And then I go and I start trying to think about it in my flesh. And I'm like, what have I signed up for? What on earth are you doing, God? And every time, time and time again, we've seen miracle after miracle after miracle. The miracles start long before the medical team gets to the field. Of course, it's exciting to see blind receive sight. You know, they have a cataract surgery clinic that we bring with us. And we have people who couldn't walk, you know, they get a cast and they begin getting healed and able to walk again. We have babies being born in the clinic. We have, cancer and goiters removed in the clinic, and all those are awesome, but it's all to share the gospel of Jesus. I wanna tell you, you're gonna hear from Moses in just a second. He, being from Uganda, the African, he watched that timer. I have never seen an African end on time. But he has set the bar so high for me today, and I'm just gonna tell you right up front, it ain't gonna happen, okay? It's just I'm gonna act more African than him today. You are not getting out on time, but I'll do my best not to make it too laborious. Moses talked about just an idea that God forms, and then it becomes something God can build on. And I don't know what you're dealing with in life. This is not all about a mission in Uganda. This is about the mountains in our own lives. And if you decide, hey, this mountain's just too big and I'm just gonna sit here, then that mountain will remain. But if you decide today, I'm gonna put my faith in Jesus, something bigger than me, things are gonna change. So I wanna introduce to you by way of video, Moses Semande Mbuga from Uganda.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Coastal Community Church.
I bring you greetings from Gospel Messengers and Imani Mirele from Uganda. I'm here today to share with you the mighty works of God and what God has been doing in Uganda with Imani in America and other parts of the world. What I love most in the Bible, I love what they call faith. And I want to read to you, we can read together, Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. It says, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. Whoever comes to God must believe that God exist and that he rewards those who seek him. So, those who have been to Uganda, Coastal Community Church, Pastor Seth, and other members here, you have seen what God has done and what God is doing from the humble beginnings when we started the medical missions in 2013 and 2014. Now it is almost 10 years. We started very small, but God has done a great work, as you can see, or as you will see what the Lord has done. Many people have come to our medical clinics, and many people have given their life to Jesus Christ, and many patients have been attended and treated, and many of them, they got well. Right now, as I'm speaking, there is a praise report. People, they are glorifying God, and there are so many people looking forward to the coming medical mission in 2014. This time, I'm expecting that we are going to see at least between 15 to 20,000 patients. So my brothers and my sisters, I encourage you, pray, join us in prayer. You can also join us and support us with your finances. And those who want to come, please come. Because many people, they believe by seeing, touching, and feeling. Jesus said that blessed are those who believe without seeing, which means that the majority, 99.9, they believe after seeing, after touching, and after feeling. So my brothers and sisters, I encourage you to register yourself early, that so that we can book your ticket, book your accommodation, come and join us and serve God's people. Many years ago, God put a word on my heart, which I've been sharing with everyone, that the gospel of deeds supersedes the gospel of words. People, they are tired of words. People, they need to see Jesus in action. How do they see them? When Jesus is treating their patients, when Jesus is healing them, when Jesus is loving them, you know, providing food, providing their needs, their children being, you know, being sponsored. And in these medical missions, the greatest miracle God does all the time, people, they give their life to Jesus. So my brother, come and join us in this greatest campaign of winning souls, bringing souls to Christ through a medical mission. May God bless you as you join us.
All right, and if you missed out on the first service, you can watch that online. It'll be on Spotify as well via audio podcast. And Moses, the president of Imani Malele Children, began taking care of just two orphan children back in 1989. Now the organization has grown. The organization takes care of about 4,000 orphaned and vulnerable children. Their primary role is providing education in rural communities. They have 8 schools spread out throughout the most rural areas of Uganda. And one of those schools in Chitongo, we visited back in 2011. And when we saw the children with, it's called Chigas. You might say chiggers, but it's not the same. It's bugs that burrow into the bottom of your foot, lay an egg sac the size of a quarter, and then the children can't make it to school because their feet are swollen. And we came back and we began building schools in that community in Chitongo. And we treated so many patients in that village, connecting with many of the people there. If you've seen the picture of me, look, the blind girl that opened her eyes and got to see me for the first time, that awesome like picture that is on the internet of me. That girl is from Chitongo. She was born congenitally blind. Our surgeons were able to bring her to the city and do surgery on her, removing the cataracts as well as some corrective lens surgery. And she's now able to see. Anyway, that's the village we're going back to this year, Chitongo. And everybody say it with me. Can you say Chitongo? Chitongo. It's spelled with a K, but it's Ch. And so we are just a small part of God doing big things. I want you to know that, like, I didn't have this plan. This was not my plan. We were meeting at a middle school. This was like all I could handle was just making sure. I was working another job. All I could handle was just making sure I was ready to preach a sermon on Sunday. And like God starts dumping this in my lap. And I got to tell you, maybe God didn't call you to international orphan care or to be crazy like Seth and Krista and bring a bunch of kids into your family. Maybe he didn't call you to start a church, but maybe he called you to talk to your neighbor about Jesus. Maybe he called you just to give church Jesus' bride one more chance. Maybe he called you to give Jesus a chance. Whatever it is he's calling you today, take that step. I want to talk to you. I've been talking about my car for a lot of weeks now. I'm going to do it one more week because it just keeps on giving me lots of reasons to use it in a sermon analogy. But I put the final part in my car, and I thought I had the final part like six parts ago. I put the final part in my car, and it was a fuel pump assembly, the most expensive part that I could buy in this little system. And I put it in, and I'd already had it out once, so it was easy to put in. And it started awesome. It was great. It was fantastic. Finally, I was celebrating glory. I've finally fixed this stupid car. And no more tow trucks. By the way, I'm doing the wedding for the tow truck driver. We've got a relationship going now. Like, he's getting married in Fellsmere. I'm like, I'll do that for you. It's going to be about the cost of this tow. So I wake up early Friday morning because this is the first day my wife is going to drive the car again. You know, I'm like, hey, take the car that runs. I'll drive the other one. You know, I can always hop on the bus. You know, she's working in Melbourne. So, and I get her keys and I go out to the car. That's me trying to start the car and it not starting. And we had a moment with the Lord right there. I had a few things to say that I won't repeat here. And then I realized that on the dashboard, there was a green key lighting up, blinking. And I remember reading about this. There's an immobilizer built into Hondas. And if the key isn't right, the green key will begin blinking on the dashboard. You see, something happened. The key got broken. The key got broken and it no longer would work. And I just kept trying and trying and trying. I kept wondering why the car didn't leave me stranded. Of course, it had the fuel issue with me. But why did it not leave me stranded, but it left her stranded every time? Because she was using the wrong key to start the car. I wonder how many of our problems, we're sitting there trying and trying and trying and trying, the wrong key, the key that isn't going to work. And I looked, this key used to work. And so I keep trying and trying and trying. And I looked online, I Googled everywhere to try and find out how on earth I can fix this without having to go to Honda, okay? Because you know, Honda, staff knows I'm cheaper than, some people would call it frugal. Nope, I'm cheap. And so I'm like, how can I figure it out? I will tell you, I've already done the research. You cannot reprogram this key without going to the manufacturer. So many of you, you keep trying everything. You keep Googling around and wondering, maybe there's a shortcut. Maybe I can, you're just as cheap as me with your faith as I am with my money. And you're like, maybe I can find another way. Maybe I don't have to go back to the manufacturer. Meanwhile, God's like, I got the keys right here. Just here, you want this? And I go in and I grab my keys. Can you hear the angels? Okay. And I put them in and the thing starts right up and I'm about ready to throw this thing. It's about ready to meet Jesus. I just wonder how many of us have been trying to get through and solve our problems using the wrong key. How many of us need to take our brokenness to the manufacturer and say, fix it, please. I've tried everything else. It didn't work. I'm finally ready to trust you. So we're gonna talk about a doubter's guide to growing our faith. Matthew 17, verse 20. It'll be on the screen if you wanna follow along there. You can also follow along on your phone. Matthew 17, 20. You don't have enough faith, Jesus told them. I tell you the truth. If you had faith even as small as a mustard seed, you could say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it would move. Nothing would be impossible. And some of you are like, that's crazy. Until you start seeing mountains move. Right? Until you start seeing mountains move. Pastors will ask me, how do you do the gas buy down thing, the block party? How do you do that? Back when we were in the middle school, we had like 40 people attending church, but God does it. God does it. How do you survive 15 years in middle school? I don't know how we did that. God did it. How do we fund treating 30,000 people in a rural village of Uganda? I still don't know. I still look and try and figure out with the financial brain in my head is very small, but I try to figure it out. God's bigger than my financial brain, and I'm real glad for that. But if we could have just a mustard seed of faith, the things we think are impossible and immovable are possible with God. Number one, in this doubter's guide to growing our faith. Number one, faith that moves mountains must first move you. We often point from the outside of faith saying that will never work. We often point from seeing it in someone else's life and saying it worked for them, but it would never work for me. Pastor Seth sees miracles because he's a pastor. Well, my wife will tell you, I doubt quite a bit. And the Lord has to show me over and over and over again. He's probably talking to me right now. You of little faith, have you not seen what I can do? I don't even need you. I took a sabbatical this year and the team went without me. And I gotta be honest with you, as someone who struggles with control issues, I wondered, it's gonna be a huge failure. Guess what? God worked mightily. 500 people got saved. Almost every child in the Imani organization received some medical treatment. God actually doesn't need us as much as we think he does. He just needs us to be willing for faith to move inside of us so that it can move outside of us. I want to go back to that verse, if you can put it back on the screen. It says, I tell you the truth, if you had faith. Everyone say had. Type it in the comments and drive the online host nuts. Had. That's past tense. If you had faith. If faith was already completed in you, things would be different. If you had the right key, you could start the car. I remember all these, you know, now I know how to fix this. Now I know, because this was a crazy issue. All my mechanic friends are like, well, I don't even, you know, like they were stumped and it was kind of making me happy, but at the same time frustrated. Like, how am I supposed to fix this car? But now I have the resources. I now have been through it. That's God's plan for you. For you to have faith to the extent, you could just do the little things at first, just the little things at first. And once you see God work in those little things, now you have past tense faith. Now when you get to the bigger things and you say, if I only had faith, you've got faith. And you go back and you point to the areas in your life that God delivered big for you. Faith must be powerful inside of you before it can be powerful outside of you. Faith moves mountains, but it first has to move you. So faith grows inside of you when you make the decision to choose faith instead of doubts and fears. Number two, because we got to move. Number two, faith grows with practice. Faith grows with practice. James chapter 2, verses 21 and 22. Don't you remember that our ancestor Abraham was shown to be right with God by his actions when he offered his son Isaac on the altar? You see, his faith and his actions worked together. His actions made his faith complete. Faith grows outside of you when you choose to put into practice what you say you believe. You've heard it said, practice what you preach. You heard Moses say, the ministry of deeds supersedes the ministry of words. What the world needs now is not words, sweet words, right? What the world needs now. I hope the microphones got that and broadcast it all over the internet. Praise God. Y'all are ready this morning. The world has heard enough words. They're, as Moses said, the world is tired of words. Words aren't fixing anything. Words aren't getting the car started. What they need is Jesus through our works. You have to practice in order to gain strength. You have to practice your faith in order to gain power. I've been working out over the last year and a half. I've always kind of worked out, but now I have a gym membership and that really makes you like, you just kind of get guilty. I'm spending this money, I gotta go to the gym. And I'd work out with my son, Kyle. He hopes one day to be as powerful as his dad, but for now he just kind of looks at me and I wish one day I could have muscles like him. And so one day we're working out. We always work out with his buddies from JROTC and wrestling and all that. And we're working out, and you know, one old dude with a bunch of young guys, and I think it was Diego's like, hey, let's see if you can curl this. And he goes and gets a 50-pounder, and I'm like, I can't curl that. And he puts it in my hand, and I said, okay, I'll try it. And they're like, come on, let's go. You know, like psyching me up. Okay, I felt like I was in high school again. Only I was homeschooled and didn't actually get to go to real high school. So I was living it for the first time, and I went, and I kept my form perfect, okay? Okay, and I did it 3 times. I pumped 3 times, 50 pounds. And boy, those boys were like, whoa! And then they were like, hey, dude, your dad just curled 50 pounds 3 times. And I was like, yeah, that's right, yeah. I was totally like feeling it. I was like, I am powerful. And then he says, he's got mad old man strength. The smile, I felt my muscles like a cartoon character just kind of deflating, and my along with my ego. And I said, What'd you just say right there? No, people like you, oh, people like me, people like you, they have strength you can't see. You know, like you just, they have muscles. I'm as big as you. I can't lift that. You see, when you practice, those boys aren't there every time I'm curling weights, okay? When you practice, you have strength that can't be seen. When you decide that your faith is more than just Sunday morning, when your faith is more than just what people can see on the surface, what faith can do will be more than what people can see on the surface. Faith grows with practice. James is talking about it in James 2. You can't have faith without works. You can't have faith without power. You can't have faith and just, yeah, we put it in a box and take it out on Sunday morning and look at it. Look at that faith. I practiced my faith by going to church and sitting in a chair. And I stayed awake the whole sermon this week. Woo! Yeah, awesome, good for you. Your faith is dead if it doesn't exit this building. Your faith is dead if the people around you don't see it in action. Your faith, look, you're not made righteous by your actions, but you're made legit by your actions. When your faith motivates you to move outside of your comfort zone and see God work outside of you, that old man strength comes through in a way that they weren't expecting. Back to Matthew 17, Jesus' disciples, when he says, hey, this mountain can be moved, Jesus' disciples just had an amazing worship experience on the top of a mountain where Jesus' deity was very clearly expressed and exposed to these few disciples. It's called the Transfiguration, and we don't have time because you all don't want to. You're being polite, but you don't want to stay here that long. But when the deity of Jesus was most evidently clear here on earth at the Mountain of Transfiguration, so they have this awesome worship experience. I mean, you think it was good today, okay? And we had a new drummer, Greg McCracken. We released the McCracken today. And you know, it was good. You know, the neighbors heard, okay? It was good. Look, it was nothing like at the top of that mountain with Jesus. And they come down to that mountain, and one of the people in that village said, hey, Jesus, you know, my son's got all these demons, and I brought them to your disciples, and they couldn't do anything about it. That's where the chastisement came in. And Jesus says, you have little faith. Can't you even just have a little bit of faith? Matthew 17, 19 says, afterward, the disciples asked him privately, why couldn't we cast out that demon? And I think that's the attitude that we need to have in order to practice faith that can move mountains. When we practice, we go to Jesus and say, hey, that was embarrassing. Like the power of God was not moving through me back there. That's not how I wanna live my life. I wanna see that when people wanna come to Jesus and get healed, like I can be a conduit of that. So what happened back there? And they say, what happened in our faith? So this is like, how can I fix this? That is how we grow in our faith, by constantly being willing to go to Jesus, embarrassed or not, and say, I tried, I failed, I didn't ask for help until it became embarrassing, but here I am now. Grow my faith. You know, we look at problems all around us, and we're like, man, wouldn't it be nice if God did that? Wouldn't it be nice if God took care of this? And God's like, wouldn't it be nice if you had enough faith that through you, we could do something about this? I remember, you know, nothing's perfect. But it's humbling to think about what we're involved with in Uganda, because it's, you know, it's like, there's one thing to be like, have a good event here on the campus, and it's like a big deal, and it's more than we could ever. But when you go to Uganda and you see thousands of people who spent the night there because they haven't seen a doctor in years, and somehow your home church is connected to this, there's a whole new level of humility, because I am not worthy. And when you begin to see like just the pain and the suffering, and God chose you to be the conduit, I feel like Moses saying, choose somebody else. I can't do this. And whatever God's called you to, whatever. And I know there's people in here that God may have called to bring more children into their family. I'm not trying to do a guilt trip. I'm just trying to tell you, if the Holy Spirit's leading, you will see God work so powerfully in you if you just say yes. Faith grows with practice. Number three, and I know the point you've all been waiting for, the last one. Powerful faith requires surrender. We cannot claim we have faith and not be fully surrendered to God. We go to Matthew 21, verse 22 this time. Similar exchange, different book. Or sorry, different chapter. Then Jesus told them, I tell you the truth. If you have faith and don't doubt, you can do things like this and much more. You can even say to this mountain, may you be lifted up and thrown into the sea, and it will happen. You can pray for anything, and if you have faith, you will receive it. Because if you have faith, it changes what you pray for. It changes how you pray. Because we realize that if we want our problems fixed, or if we want to be a conduit through which the world's problems are fixed, we've got to go to the manufacturer, the creator. We've got to get our energy from there. We've got to get our programming from there. We've got to get our agenda from there. We don't need to look at the news or look at the politics to get our agenda from there. He has an agenda for us. It's one we don't have to apologize for or feel weird about. Powerful faith requires full surrender. Faith grows powerfully enough to move mountains only when we follow so closely after Jesus that wherever he goes, we go. Whatever he asks, we answer yes. Practice makes our words powerful. Through the practice of faith and full surrender, we can speak powerful words to a mountain, and it'll be moved. I don't know what mountain is in front of you today, but I want you to look at this passage. You can even say to what mountain? He's pointing. They just came from that mountain, and he's saying, this mountain. You can even say to this mountain, get out of here, and it'll go. want you to close your eyes, bow your heads. I would like our leaders to come forward, please. Powerful faith requires full surrender. What is your mountain? I want you to imagine with me as your eyes are closed, Jesus is sitting there right next to you. And when Jesus said, your faith can move this mountain, what is he pointing at? Only you know that. What is he pointing at? He says, you've given up. You think this is impossible. But through me, with my keys, even this can move. So what is this mountain for you? Is it your lack of faith that's keeping that mountain there? Your faith can only be as powerful as your surrender. Lack of faith will keep a mountain in your way. But faith will move mountains. Is anything too hard for God? So I invite you, is there anyone here who says, I need to trust in Jesus for the first time? You want to give faith a try, believing in Jesus? That's just the first step. If that's you, I would invite you to just look up at me and raise your hand. You're not alone. Many people, often over the weeks, I see that hand. Any other hands? Okay, I see another. God calls almost every week someone to decide to follow him. I wonder if it's you. I want to call you a step further. Those who raised their hands, would you accept the help of your church family to pray with you? Do you have the guts to come forward? Can we stand? Can we stand together? If you're gonna put your faith in Jesus for the first time, I invite you, stand up, please come forward. If you're in a row, if we all stand, it makes it easier just for people to get out. If you're in a row and someone in the center needs to get out, well, go ahead and walk up with them. Don't let them go by themselves. If Jesus is calling you to full surrender today, there's nothing to be afraid or embarrassed of, we invite you forward. Praise God. Praise God. Is there anyone else? Okay, now for the rest of you all who have Jesus living in your hearts but have forgotten what he's capable of. The faith that hasn't grown and hasn't, the mustard seed would be too high a calling. But there's a mountain in front of you and you can't move any further until you get the right keys. Until God fixes you, whether you're broken or whether there's a mountain that just seems impassable, I invite you to come forward and just get prayer. Let us help you get stronger. Let us push that mountain out of the way. Sometimes our faith isn't strong enough by ourselves. That's why God created the church, so that we could be a family of believers. We're stronger together. We're united for the sake of moving mountains. Not even just the mountains in our own lives. I want to see mountains moved in your life. That's my passion. Is there anyone who needs a mountain moved today? Anyone else? Come forward. We have people who are willing to pray, people who are willing to support you. Mm-hmm. Those who are going to remain at the seats, begin praying for these people as well, praying for your church family. God's gonna move mountains today. Is there anyone else? I'll pull Garrett off that microphone. He can pray with you. Pastor Garrett's here. Is there anyone else? God says, this mountain. Only you know what this mountain is. Right now, I'm asking you, go ahead and let us know so we can be praying with you. And this mountain will be in your rear view mirror because of your faith. Spirit. Any others? I'll start pulling people out of the production room. Is there anyone else? Pastor Ron. God works beneath the surface. It's always neat to see it come out into the open, to be celebrated. Can we celebrate what God is doing here, even this morning? Thank God for what He's doing. God is not finished in working in your lives. You can be seated. God's not finished in working in your lives or the lives of the people here. If there was somebody here who either decided, hey, I wanna put my faith in Jesus, or you need extra, you wanna speak to somebody about what God's calling you to, I want you to email amen@sebastianchurch.com, or you can text that number up there, or you can go to the card on the back of the chair and drop it in the box in the back. Just because you didn't come forward doesn't mean God is not going to move that mountain. So I want you to know we're here for you as a church. We're here for you as a church. And it not just on Sunday. We're here for you each and every day of the week. So Father, we dedicate each and every person, each and every family member here to you. We praise you for those who've decided to follow you and take that first step of faith. And we praise you for those who've decided, I don't want my faith just to be words, but to grow into actions. And Father, I pray that even following this service in the days to come, that this message would be our mantra. We pray in Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening, and we hope you were blessed by today's teaching. We would love to connect with you, and here are some ways you can connect with us. You can submit a prayer request, find a life group, or check out some of the upcoming events at sebastianchurch.com/go. Join us here again for the next episode.